what? The date? It's Christmas time.
Oh, all right.
Anything?
You talk. It was around Christmas time, and we had the boat number Marie de Traben in 2813, the number of the boat was, Marie de Trapani, and it was Christmas time. This man come down and asked me, "What's the trouble, Joe?" I said, "We got book a crankshaft, so we're going to wait for crankshaft for a while." He said, "And why are you waiting for the crankshaft? Why don't you work for me?" I said, "Well, what do you give me?" He said, "I give you $100 a trip." I said, "You're crazy. What kind of business?" "Oh, you got to get some boxes outside, bring them in." So I didn't know exactly what the boxes was. But I said, "Nope." During that time, we fixed the boat up, everything. He come back. He said, "How you get along, Joe?" I said, "Get along all right, slow, but the crankshaft cost us $400, and besides the labor." So I said, "Here's $400. Pay for your crankshaft is all paid. Pay for your labor to get straightened out. Quicker you can get straightened out, the better it is. I want you to use your boat." So he gave me the money, and I pushed the deal with the mechanic, the driver, to get it ready. And we did get it ready in about, 2 weeks. The boat ready, the engine ready, everything, we went out for him. He gave me two letters, two envelopes. One to give the skipper the boat outside, and one to me to open when I was ready to load it. You know, all the boxes are born. So we went alongside the vessel there, whatever it was. I don't remember the name. So we loaded up, put the boxes, 400 boxes aboard. And now I gave them the letter, and I opened my letter. And here I was supposed to go in Essex, up in Essex River. Essex River is a hard place to get in nighttime, no lights. Now they got some buoys, but never, them days they had nothing. Just a couple spar buoys, that's all. So anyway, I went in. We went, I think, with Squirrel Island. We landed the stuff, whatever it was, and then we come back home. Come back home to the river. Everything was all right so far, so good. A couple of days later, he come back again. He said, "Joe, you got to go get another trip." So I said, "Okay, but what condition?" "Condition is," I said, "we'll have to get caught." Now, I know what it was now. I didn't know at the start. When we put it aboard, I knew there was liquor, but I didn't know it was liquor in the first going off. Anyway, so I said, "Before I go out, I want to have some security for the boat. The boat cost us $4,000. I said, "I want some security." "So it's all right." He said, "I'll go to the bank, deposit $4,000 for you." He said, "For the boat. And actually, you lose, you get your money. After this trip, then we'll see what we're going to do. For this trip, you do that." I said, "Okay." So he did. He did, and we went out again. We went out again to borrow money, went out again, and we bought another trip. Now, when I opened the letter the second time, now that we went and loaded up, it was for Plymouth. I gave the skipper the one. When I opened my letter, it was for Plymouth. So we had to go to Plymouth, take it out. On the way going to Plymouth, there was patrol boats all around, but they didn't seem to bother us much. It was a Guinea boat, you know, Italian boat, what you call it. And they didn't see us, I think. That's the main thing. They didn't see us, so we went to Plymouth, unload everything nice, and started to come home. So we got home. We stood here a couple of days, and I never heard nothing for them. So I turned around, put the trawls, go fishing again, trawling. After that, we went fishing, trawling for a while, for about 2-3 weeks. That meant that the vessel had to go back to Nova Scotia, wherever, to load up or something, I don't know. And we fished, you know, don't get rich fishing, but still it was more safety than the other one. So when the vessel come back, whatever it was, that time, it come down again, and we never get another load. We got another load. And we landed into Annisquam, right inside the lighthouse. There's a little pier there near the yacht club. We landed there. Landed the booze, everything was fine. He was a good man anyway. He knew what he was doing. He knew what I do out in the ocean, and I knew what he do on the shore. But it was all right. We landed the stuff, and then we come home. Then we stood a week home without bother for nothing. Listen, Christ's, it might happen turned the wrong way. After we fished trawler for a while, he come down one day and told me, he said, Joe, I want you to go one of the speedboats. One of the speedboats. I said, how fast the speed goes? He said, it goes about from 28 to 32 miles if you push her. So I said, what condition? He said, you want $200 every time you go out? He said, you get $200, you know? By the same time, he was using me good way. But when I went in the speedboat, it was danger. It was danger, and the Coast Guard was after you. So we went out that trip, and Christ sakes, we had everything chasing us. They knew the speedboat. The boat had a name that she was fast. They had everything after us. They had a little airplane, one-man plane there, small plane right overhead, and the big Tampa or the Ossipee, where it was, shot the 5 pound across our bow. So we swung her off and couldn't clear him. He fired 3 shots and missed us. We was going too fast and slewing, and the sea sled was right behind us all the time. I think he stopped shooting while the sea sled was close to us. So I figured, I said, the sea sled goes pretty fast, smooth, and go down the lower. Now I'll swing her up when I get clear from the cutter's range for his gun. I get clear the range for the gun where they could shoot. I turned around and swung her right up to the wind. Well, it wasn't much wind, about 7-8 miles, 10 miles an hour the most. So here up the wind, we was one spray. You could see a boat. You could see nothing. Fly. And the sea sled tried to follow us, and he had to turn back. Why, he couldn't go against a little chopper weather. If he had any false teeth, they dropped off. You know what I mean? And we kept going. We got away from the range from him and the other one. But the airplane, we couldn't get rid of him. So the airplane, I know them days had no telephone, but the Coast Guard boat seen them, and they followed them. So they tried to block us off, but they couldn't. We was too fast for them. So we got clear of that thing. We landed. We went into Newburyport. Went to Newburyport, landed the trip, and everything was all right, and we come home. We tied up the town landing near the Gloucester House. Used to be near the Gloucester, McGruger's Wharf. After it was McGruger's Wharf. Was tied there in the rafters. That's the town landing, used to be. And was there for 3-4 days, 5 days, and always the Coast Guard was watching us every move we make. So we didn't do much. We stood there 3-4 days without doing nothing. Just run the engines in the morning, warm them up. And then when we start the engine, there'd be one Coast Guard with a gun and on the wharf a little further down across the, near the Fisherman's Wharf. Another fellow would be down the Ford Company with a gun waiting for us to go by. But we waited until our time comes so that we was ready. And after 3-4 days, I said, geez, it's time to get out. So we waited 12 o'clock sharp when they change watch, and they go to dinner, one of the two anyway. So we had the engine running for an hour, slow warming up, you know, the engines, three of them, three Liberties. So by and by, we had a small line, little thin line on it, trawl line tying the boat. We opened them up, the whole three, and we went like a bullet out. And we couldn't go down to the Ford Company. We had to go to the coal company, to the coal company on the left, to the Empire now. And we went down, and then we swung her out, get away from the gun there. We went to Rocky Neck, Tower Watson, and then we come out, the harbor. Geez, we had everything chasing us. Almighty, there was PT boats, big boats, everything chasing, trying to block us. So we went out anyway. We got out, and we had to go way the hell out to go get a load. So I don't know where we were going to go, which place we were going to go in, but I know where the boat was outside. So we went there and loaded up, you know, and it was breezing up. We was breezing up a southeaster. Not too bad, a southeaster. Them boats are all right when you load up, you run them slow, but if you run them up high, coming down the sea, the stern goes right underwater, you know, loaded. Anyway, we ride all right, nice, fine, and we went to Lynn, right into Lynn, Lynn Marsh here. Right into Lynn Marsh's little river there. We went in there, land the stuff. I don't know when we left the wharf here that where we were going to go until I opened the letter. Then I knew exactly where we was going. We got there, unload the stuff in the night, and come home. Just when we come home, boy, the Coast Guard come aboard the patrol, and they try to take the water out of the bilge, see if there's any alcohol. But we was a little smarter than them when we had that trick. We took, washed the boat whole down, nice and good, and then we took some perfume made out of plastic, and they throw that to smell like roses. And I don't know where they bought it, but I know that we had them. We throw three or four of them, close the hatch, and when you open the hatch, of course, you knock you backwards, the perfume. So the water in the bilge is all dried up, with the pump it up and wash it two, three times, so they couldn't smell nothing. So one fellow was going to take some water out of the bilge, whatever little bit he could find. What are you going to do with that? He said, I'm going to take this, they have a test. Oh, no. You ain't taking that test. I said, you drop the water right there. I don't care if you're a Coast Guard or not. You test it right here. Well, by the time you bring it up to the station to test it, you can put alcohol in there and you blame you got us with alcohol. Oh, no, that's wrong. Look, we don't want no trouble, I said. Well, then somebody will be bloodshed here if we don't drop the water there. You know, I meant it, too. They know I always had guns. They knew it, too, and that was a nice boy when I was asleep. But I wouldn't dare to use it. So they turned and dropped the water. They tested right on deck. No alcohol. They had a machine to test it, tester-like. No alcohol. Then they took some water, put in a spoon. If the alcohol would burn up, the water would stay in the bottom. But there was all water, so they couldn't do nothing. So after that, we was free to go any ways we wanted. After that, anyway, I thought it was getting too hot. And my wife giving me hell, didn't want me to go in the business at all. And it was dangerous. You know, really, when you see them 5-pound cannon come across your bow from the arsenal of the Tampa, I didn't mind the machine gun where they couldn't, you know, we was going fast and they couldn't get close enough for the machine gun. But them 5-pounders where they have it, big guns, boy, you come across your bow, you hear them whistle. You think it's Christ, there's somebody whistling over your head. But still, they missed us anyway. That was good. Thank the Lord for that. They missed us. And I know it was getting dangerous, so I said, it's time to quit for a while. So I did. Then after that, I started to go fishing again. I started to go fishing again, the boat. So the idea was trawling, the hard stuff, seining. It wasn't so bad. Started fishing again. And my wife was tickled to death, the kids was tickled to death. I'd go out in the morning, come back at night, and no trouble at all. So I said, I better keep away from that racket altogether. Money was all right, but you spend it. Used to go up to the last hotel, gamble it with the rest of the boys altogether. When you're in that racket, your life ain't worth 2 cents anyway. As I was fishing, trawling, I was getting by anyway. The life was nice. It wasn't like danger or nothing. So I kept fishing till the fall of the year. In the fall of the year, the company, I mentioned no name of the company, not the people, they wanted me to make a trip. I said, no, don't talk about speedboats. I don't want no share of it. I said, everything is after you when you get a speedboat. Oh, I said, we'll get you a boat. Get your boat, hire your boat, your trawling. I said, yeah, but we don't want to gamble $4,000 or $5,000 boat for just for that. You get caught, you lose the boat. He said, we deposit the money in the bank for you, and you go out. I said, all right. We made arrangements, we did go out. We took a load up, and we went into Coast Guard. Everything was after us, but they knew I was in the boat. They knew that I went out for rum. They knew that. They had spies pretty good. And they knew I went for a load, and they had everything from outside Thatcher's, out to halfway Rock, off of Gloucester, off of Marblehead, Salem. They had patrol boats all lined up just same as waiting for the Germans to come, you know, all lined up for them, ready to do action. So when I come across it off of Thatcher's, I went way close to the beach, Long Beach, come along the shore right close, They didn't expect so close. And then I went right across the harbor and right across. That was good. And I followed that shore all around them rocks, nighttime. Lilans. I was well acquainted, you know. When you're well acquainted, you don't mind it. And we went there, and we couldn't make time. We were supposed to be there before about 2 o'clock in the, during the night. We didn't get we went off, what they call it, the Marblehead. There was patrol boats there. And we caught them smoking cigarettes. We could see the light in the cigarette from them, you know. We had no lights, nothing, running slow. We couldn't run fast, so I make a lot of noise. You know, you can hear the nighttime. Anyway, as it was, we got into Revere Beach. We got into Revere Beach, and the fellow at the door, he met us. He said, there's been a lot of cops here. A lot of cops have been around here. Everything been down here watching. They know you're coming. They're waiting. I said, Jesus, you better go offshore. I said, you're crazy. I'll start a dump from here just out until I get outside, start a dump alcohol overboard, whiskey, whatever it is. I said, I'll dump it overboard. I ain't going to go take another chance out there. So many patrol boats. Yes, we know there's a lot of patrols. Somebody squeal on you, you know? Okay, somebody wants you to get caught. So it's okay, I can't help that, but get caught don't mean nothing. I said, get caught, you get good, fine or jail, what the hell is the difference? But as long as I ain't going to take this out. So they decided to say, all right, bring it on the beach, run the boat right up and high and dry on the beach. The tide was high. We run away up on the beach. We run away on the beach, and then my brother was with me, and he turned around to see this fella near the boat, so he started to pass case. He said, let her come. So he thought he'd get past him a case of whiskey, or beer, or alcohol, whatever. The fella pulled a gun, automatic. He was an FBI, Feb anyway, and he said, you're under arrest. But he pulled a gun, and when he tried to pull the trick away, my brother turned around and told me, he says, there's some cop down here, he's one. I said, that's all right, tell him and put the, no, don't shoot, don't worry about it. So the cop pulled the trigger, but the gun jam on him. He did. So I said, listen, buddy, I said, what are you? He said, FBI, there'll be no trouble. But put that gun out of the way, because somebody else got a gun on you. I said, if you pull that gun out, somebody will kill you. We don't want that. I said, you don't think we ain't protected? We're protected too, you know. So anyway, he was all right. Okay, put his gun in his pocket. And they said, you're under arrest? I said, sure. We went down, he arrested us, brought us pinches. And then after that, the government unloaded the stuff, you know. And after that, they sold the boat for auction. I didn't bother with it. I didn't want nothing, no share of it. I got out of it all together. I said, how is this? It's no good, you know. I got out of it all together, and the government got the liquor, whatever it was, alcohol, whiskey, whatever it was. I don't remember exactly how many cases. Anyway, and we got pinched, we got under bond, and we come home. Then the kid waited for the case. You know, there's 3-4 months, he had a case, the lawyers. But I didn't have to bother much of that stuff anyway. But when they pinched me, they asked me what my name was. My name, I gave a wrong name. I didn't give my name, so they marked it down. And the people that marked my name, they knew me, what my name was. But still, they put whatever I told them, you know? That was all right. Anyway, we got out of the case all right after we get through the case. That was good. That wasn't bad. We got out of it some way or another, paid, you know, something. I didn't pay nothing. It didn't cost me nothing, but it cost the company that I was working for them. Paid. And we got out of it. And then now I said, it's time to quit for good. And we turned around